We don't do it for business. Definitely not. I can guarantee that. It's not for business. It's probably I want to help, first of all. But I think it shows the human side of a real estate agent as well. A lot of people just see us driving around sometimes in flashy cars and suits and selling homes, and that's the perception of a real estate agent. But we're not like that. We are humans as well. We have families. We have friends. We go through what everyone else is going through in their lives. And I'd like to probably demonstrate that we're all human, us real estate agents, but definitely not needed to win business, but just to show that Buxton's here to help the community.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent, for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Kylie Dalhunty.
Hey everyone, it's Kylie Dalhunty here. Today we have a very special episode of the Elevate podcast for you. It's packed with three guests who truly believe in Greek storyteller Aesop's quote, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted." Not only are these three agents doing genuinely kind things for their clients and their wider community, the spin-off is those good deeds are really helping them build their personal brands and their businesses. Today, I'll be chatting to Ray White, Northern Coast Director of Investment Growth, Janine Prinsloo, Buxton Geelong Group Director Matt Plunkett, and Ray White Erskineville Senior Sales Executive Moira Verheyen. So without further ado, welcome to Elevate, Janine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So Janine, the point of this podcast is about getting some agents that are doing some really great things for their clients. So I wanted to have a chat to you about the Perth couple that you took a chance on 10 years ago as a property manager and how you helped them and why.
Well, you know, it's one of many, many stories that have a similar ending, but this one in particular stood out, obviously, because it's just recently happened. But many years ago, and you know, we sat calculating it the other day, probably 10, 11 years ago, I took a couple through a home. They'd only just met one another, and he was fly in, fly out, and she was staying with her parents, and they decided that they would get a home together, and nobody was giving them an opportunity. They were young, and I just looked at them, and I said to the owners, what I often say to owners is that some of my best tenants are young couples because they're very house proud. They like to start off where their parents are ending off, so they're very ambitious, and they often end up being your best tenants. And this owner said to me, you know, let's pop them in, brand new build. They were in that property for just over a year, and their relationship got a lot more serious, and she decided that she was going to move closer to his man. So they moved out of the property. I had them for a year. But in that year, I was very conscious of the fact that she was around about the same age of my own daughter. And I kept in contact with her a lot more than I would a normal tenant. Just checking in on her, making sure she was okay. When her water bill came, I would make sure she understood the concept of paying the bill on time. Or if there was maintenance, we sorted it out. Well, I just sort of took her very quietly under my wing. And then they moved on with their lives, never heard from them again. And a couple of months ago, I received a Facebook messenger, and she was, "Hi, Janine, I don't know if you remember me," and she gave a little outline and she said, "We would now like you to manage our investment property," based on obviously the good experience that they had had. And that's not only a privilege, but it's a massive compliment that two young people, I mean, if I think back 10 years, I had to really think hard to remember who she was. But she never, ever forgot me. And that's where the quote that you've just said is really pertinent. Nobody forgets a small, kind deed that you've passed on to them. In some way or another, it's going to come back in a good way to you.
Yeah, incredible. So you would just call her up, say, "How are you doing? Everything okay with the property?" Or what kind of ways would you, I guess, kind of check in on her?
Well, you know, just being a new tenant and a young girl, I just go through the process. Look, we're going to come and do a routine inspection, and this is what you can expect, and this is what it's like. I didn't want anything to be daunting to her. She was living on her own most of the time, so I just wanted to make sure that she was okay. And now, 10 years later, she's a mum of two children herself. She's got a beautiful home, and now they have their own investment as well. So I guess that training process and just making sure she did right by herself and her reputation has probably stood in good stead as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess for you, that's the ultimate compliment, isn't it? That they've come back and now you get, I mean, it wasn't the point 10 years ago of why you were helping her. It wasn't to try and get business 10 years down the track. No. But how nice that that's happened.
The wheel turns.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Yeah. And so is it just the one property you're managing for them now?
Yes. But, you know, there's spin-offs from that as well, because you're talking about young people who, well, not too young, who are now in sort of their early 30s. A lot of them got into the property ownership arena early in their lives. So a lot of them are moving from their first little home that they bought 5-6 years ago into something a little bit bigger to house children. The circle is large. Perth is not a very big town, and these people talk to each other. Even as kids, they talk to each other. You know, Chacha, our property manager, she's given us an opportunity. And the circle grows as these kids become young adults and they become parents themselves. They then become investors and they become homeowners. And without thinking of it at the time, because I'm naturally a nurturing person, I think for the most part, most property managers are, because you wouldn't be in the industry for 15 years unless you could actually cope with, you know, take the good with the bad. I'm naturally a nurturing person, but it's great to know that that nurturing does ultimately pay off. And I mean, it's all emotional intelligence at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely. And it can be a daunting process. And sometimes with renters, yes, you need a rental history, but you've got to start somewhere. So having someone prepared to take a chance on you is incredible.
Well, you know, I'm an immigrant to Australia and I arrived here with my young family. Somebody had to take a chance on me. I had no rental history and we were on a working visa. Somebody had to take a chance on me and I never ever forget that.
And there's another story that I'd love to share. And this one, when I heard about it, really touched me because I think it's unique and it's something that really goes above and beyond for your tenants. This is something you did for a tenant and their daughter or her daughter. So I'll let you share the story.
Well, you recently had a guest on your show, Tara Bradbury, and I, years and years ago, was in one of her training sessions, and she spoke about a gift that was left at a hotel that she just really resonated with her. And in the back of my mind, I always try and leave an impression on people with something tangible that they can remember me by in a good way, you know, have a good memory. Little kids at routine inspection get certificates on their beds if their rooms have been tidy or just little things like that. In this particular home, when I first took on this tenancy, this little girl was probably about 4 or 5 years old, maybe a little bit older, and she was really pedantic about her room. Now, you must understand, I don't know about the states, but in Western Australia, you're in a person's home once every 3 months. So you really are in the intimate space of the family a lot, and it's a privilege, but not one that I take for granted. But this little girl just really stood out to me because she would leave, the first time I left a little certificate on her bed, going forward, she would leave a little note for me on her bed, a little chocolate, a little lolly, but her room was always perfect. And it's like the dream child with this ring. The very first year I managed that property, she was at home one of the school holidays and she'd actually done up her doll's house and asked me if I would inspect the doll's house. So I did her a little inspection of her doll's house and I posted it to her and I said, your dolls are very good. The rooms are all neat and tidy. And she really was very, very serious about routine inspections. So many years down the line, I was at the house and I noted 16th birthday cards in the home on the top of the piano. It was clear as day in my head. And I got back to the office and I was busy uploading the routine inspection and I was looking at her little room and I thought, gosh, how this room has changed over the years from this little girl to the 16-year-old, but it's still perfect and it's still always so neat. And I went back and I had a look at them. And while I was actually looking at the rooms, I thought, wouldn't it be a great idea to just take little snippets with dates of the rooms of her life as she's sort of gone towards 16. And I started off just putting something together in a Word document, but it ended up going to Big W and a little book was made. And I posted that off to her and her mum. And they came up to the office, obviously, a few days later. And her mother was absolutely overwhelmed because it was really just 16 years of bedrooms and I just showed a couple of the little bedrooms. I mean, there were quite a few, you know, and I remember in the one, she said it was probably her favorite one because she can actually see herself sitting on the floor, coloring in while I was doing the inspection. So she's actually in it. I'm sure that she holds that dear to her, but it gave me a lot more pleasure, I think, doing it. A lot of the gift is in the giving. One day she'll remember me. I don't know, but I'm sure that's something that they'll treasure for many, many years. It's a record that probably no other parents sort of think to keep, but there your property manager's got a record of your life right there.
How amazing.
From nursery to, yeah. So it's
Justin Bieber or something. All the photos of her bedroom over the years, from the doll's house to whatever she's into as a 16-year-old. That's incredible.
That's right. Now she would be in her 20s. When you look back on your career, you realize you really are privy to watching families grow. And I think that's probably what I love the most about this industry is you really do get to see how people's lives turn out. Like I said, you're in their intimate spaces. You're in people's homes before they're pregnant. And then you're there throughout the pregnancy. And then you're there when they've had the baby. You know, I've held so many little newborns of people who weren't even pregnant when they moved into the house. So you watch that journey with them, and it is a privilege. There's more good that comes out of it than bad, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess that is going above and beyond. It's not part of the job description to make a photo book for your tenant's daughter. So I guess what made you want to do that?
To be honest with you, it was just a sequence of events. You know, like I said, I was going through the routine inspection and having a daughter the same age at the time, it sort of resonated with me. I think in this industry, you've really got to have the insight to grab those good moments and make memorable moments. And I say to the staff all the time is that you're having a bad day today and you're going through a crisis today, but tomorrow you're not even going to remember this crisis because it's over and done with. I've spoken about my policy of eat the frog, where if you've got something really hard that you've got to deal with today, deal with it now. Get it over and done with because tomorrow you're not even going to remember it. But you are going to remember the good times. You're going to remember the tenants that came in with bunches of flowers, and you're going to remember the owners who were just so grateful for what you did for them. So think outside of the box and do those extra special things because they might not pay off now, but they will pay off in the future. And it's all about self-reward, really. If you're doing something for self-reward, it does come back in a good way.
Yeah, karma. I certainly believe in karma myself. Okay, so it's not the intention. The intention behind doing these things is not about getting more business further down the line, but how has taking the time to do those little acts of kindness helped your brand and develop your business?
I think it does. You know, in general, it does. I think people are looking, all I'm selling as a business developer manager is trust. And people trust nice people. People trust kind people. And I know that a lot of the business that I do go out of my way. If it's a new build and it hasn't finished yet, I will go down to the property and take photos of the house from the outside if I can't get in and send it to the owner and say, hey, I was driving past your house, thought you might like an update photo. I'm currently not being paid to do that. You only get paid once you're getting rent. But these are the things that stand out in their mind. And when I do things like that, absolutely, I'm doing that from a business point of view, but I'm also putting myself in the shoes of an Eastern States investor who can't see it, who doesn't have that joy of building their investment home. They can't drive past it on a Sunday and go, wow, that's us. But I can give them that. And it doesn't cost me anything to give them that. But it certainly has brought a lot more business my way, having that attitude and having that sense of kindness.
And so where to next for you in real estate, Janine? What are your goals for the next 6 months, 12 months?
I love where I am. I love growing the business, speaking to investors, and it's a really busy market. So I think just trying to sustain where I am at the moment and keep growing the business, that's really, really important to me. And just giving back to the community that I live in. We live in a very small community, and just looking after the community and growing the business is critical for me. I'm very ambitious and I'm very greedy, and investors love that. I'm very honest with them about that. I want to get the best for them all the time. So that's my goal, to just continue delivering that sort of service to both the business owners and our clients.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously paying off for you. And some beautiful stories there about some really unique ways you've given back to some of your clients. So thank you so much for sharing those with us.
You're welcome. No problem. Thank you.
Up next, we head to the other side of the country, to the Victorian coast, where Buxton Geelong Group's Matt Plunkett has been helping raise money for several charities. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. So, Matt, Buxton has been involved with a couple of charities there in Geelong. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. Mainly the National Breast Cancer Foundation and also Cystic Fibrosis. Buxton are a proud partner of the National Breast Cancer Foundation, hence the reason I have this badge here on my suit. We're proud partners, but also personally, I lost my mother and grandmother to breast cancer. My grandmother before I was born and my mother 8 years ago. So even prior to my mother passing away, she was undergoing treatment for 13 years. So I had a fair bit to do with the foundation, and I'm an auctioneer. So I call a lot of auctions, charity auctions for the foundation. Around Geelong, we have a day at the race club, the Geelong Racing Club, and also at the Harness Racing Club. So I call the auctions, the charity auctions on those days, and get involved in the organisation as best I can to help out. And then also, yeah, the cystic fibrosis, which is a big function that Geelong has once a year at the Geelong Football Club at Cadinia Park. That gets around 650 guests. It's quite a big event. To give you an idea, last year when I called the auction, we raised approximately $120,000 for the night.
Yeah, that's amazing. With the breast cancer one, you have a charity day, is that right, at the race club?
Yeah, so there's one at the Geelong Race Club, which is organised by a lady who's now in remission, who's a friend of mine. The whole day is about fundraising for the foundation. And the money goes back to the Geelong breast care nurses in Geelong at the hospitals. The money goes to allowing them to supply the goods, I suppose, and various things that their patients need at the Geelong hospitals. There's three main hospitals that Geelong that goes to. And every year there's a race named after my mother. And then on that day, I call the auction. We have a charity auction on that day. That's annually at the Geelong Race Club, but then also the Geelong Harness Racing Club. There's another function that's on as well that has about 80 to 100 people attend. And once again, I'll call the auction for that night as well for the charity.
Yeah, and you donate your services, obviously.
Yeah, so I donate my time for the night, but also what we do is there's promotional boards that will go up 6 to 8 weeks prior to the event. Obviously, being a real estate agent, we have access to board companies and being able to put them at various locations. So we donate anywhere between 6 and 10 promotional boards for each event to go around Geelong leading into the event.
Yeah, that's amazing because obviously, you know, it takes a bit of time, it takes effort.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got the personal connections with each of the charities. And because when I spoke to you earlier, you also told me that because of your connections with a lot of attendees, you often get people that put up an extra item, spur of the moment, to be donated. So tell me about that one.
Yeah, so over the years, friends and family over the years have been very kind to donate various prizes, whether that be a holiday house or whatever it may be. But last year at the cystic fibrosis night, I'd been up on stage calling the auctions for about an hour. I didn't have much of a voice left. And then my daughter's orthodontist actually come up on stage as I was finishing up for the night and donated a care package, an orthodontic care package, which is worth approximately $8,000, just the spare of the moment. So I just called the auction on the fly, I suppose. And someone purchased it on the night for just short of $8,000. Now, that was kindly donated by the orthodontist. He gets nothing. That's a pure donation. And it's one of those things where I think Geelong, we're a country town, but we're a big country town where people know each other and it's so kind to donate their time and help each other out. I had a rapport with that orthodontist because he treats my daughter. And I think that's just helped him in donating the price. And sure enough, I was at the orthodontist with a checkup for my daughter 2 weeks ago. And now this time he's donated it again. And also kind enough to put up, he lives on a busy road in Geelong, kind enough to allow me to put up a promotional board out the front of his orthodontic practice.
That's amazing, isn't it? And I guess, you know, you don't do these things to get more business. You do it because you have that personal connection and want to be a good person. But does it help build the Buxton brand as an aside?
I think it does. And you're exactly right. We don't do it for business. Definitely not. I can guarantee that that's not for business. It's probably I want to help, first of all, but I think it shows the human side of a real estate agent as well. A lot of people just see us drive around sometimes in flashy cars and suits and selling homes, and that's it, the perception of a real estate agent. But we're not like that. We are humans as well. We have families. We have friends. We go through what everyone else is going through in their lives. And I'd like to probably demonstrate that we're all human, us real estate agents, but definitely not in it to win business, but just to show that Buxton's here to help the community.
Yeah, because I guess real estate agents, you do have a public platform in a way, don't you? So there is opportunity because you're known to do good work.
Yeah, that's right. And our faces are obviously all over the internet, and nearly everybody that owns a home is interested in real estate. So our faces are out and about, and that's where we have the option to put boards out, promotional boards. But I suppose use a skill set that I have as an auctioneer for the last 13 years and be able to use that skill set and help charities and help people.
Yep. And just as an aside, has it sort of, you know, won you any business or built, I guess, good connections in the community through that charity work?
Yeah, it actually has. I couldn't tell you how many listings over the years that has got me, but I would say probably at least 10, in excess of 10. I currently have a listing right now that I'm working on based on this couple going to every breast cancer event that I've basically called an auction at. They've seen me calling those auctions. I don't know these people, and they've been kind enough to call me, engage me as their real estate agent.
Yeah, so I mean, it does have that end result, but I guess also the bigger picture is that hopefully you're helping find a cure for breast cancer or raising funds for cystic fibrosis as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, cystic fibrosis, one of the main organisers is a friend of mine. One of his children has got cystic fibrosis. So hence the reason he has skin in the game. He's there to help, and I'm there to help him. And then from the National Breast Cancer side of things is, yeah, like I said, I lost my mother and my grandmother. So I'd like to keep raising funds as best I can to help the breast cancer nurses in Geelong, but also research. I have a 15-year-old daughter. So obviously we have to be very careful with her. She's got it in her genes. So also look at it that if we can help a cure or help treatment, never know, that can help my daughter.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess if there are other agencies or brands out there that are thinking, okay, we should do something charitable, we need to have a good cause that we work for, what would your advice to them be in terms of who they pick or how they pick who they help?
Yeah, I can't recommend it enough. And it could even be another example is my children play sport. So I sponsor their sporting club. Now, with that kind of sponsorship, as opposed to a charity, I think if you're present in that sponsorship, it works. If you're at the football club, the netball club, the baseball club, the soccer club, the basketball club, as long as you're present and you're donating your time as well to help out and be present, I think a sponsorship works. It's the same with a charity. I think if you have a connection, a personal connection, it helps as well. But I am received quite well in the public who attend these events. They come up and have a chat when I've finished calling the auction and like to have a chat about real estate. It's breaking down the barriers of being a real estate agent. Whether we like it or not, people perceive us sometimes to be arrogant, but I think it breaks down that barrier.
The last thing I heard was some people do say we or perceive us to be a bit arrogant, but this helps break down the barriers. Fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. You're doing some great work.
Thank you.
Community, and obviously with the charities. And I think, yeah, definitely helping show that real estate agents are definitely multidimensional.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. We're here to help if need be. And if there's any agents out there thinking about helping a charity or sponsoring a club, I couldn't recommend it more.
Fantastic. Look, thank you so much for your time, Matt. And up next, we have someone I like to call a very clever cookie, Moira Verheyen from Ray White Erskineville. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Carly. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, no problem at all. Moira, I just called you a very clever cookie. Perhaps I'll let you tell all of the listeners why I've made that reference. What is it that you do for your clients that's special?
Well, so through my open homes, Molly, I actually bake cookies. I always set it up at the start of the open home, so that by the time the buyers are coming through, that smell, the aroma is actually coming through. And some people often say, I smell cookies. And it's like, yeah, we're baking them for you. It's like, well, you're baking them. It's, yeah, and they're for us. It's like, yes, you can. So I always invite them to come through and have a bite as well.
Yeah, amazing. And do you actually get there with all the ingredients and then mix them up in the bowl, or are you there at the open like half an hour beforehand, or?
I'm usually at the open home 15 minutes before. I have everything pre-made so that you've got to bake them at home. It's too rushed on a Saturday. So I grab those cookies out, put them on the baking tray, and we're ready to roll in 10 minutes, basically. Yeah. So the oven's usually preheated. I usually ask all my owners to have the oven preheated. And then I walk in, put them on, and while they're baking, I go and turn all the lights and do what I have to prepare the home for an open.
Fabulous. So what led to you deciding to bake cookies at the opens? Is it to try and, like, I guess, lure the buyers in off the street or?
A lot of people say when they come through, they go, oh, that old trick. It's like, is it a trick? But no, for me, I'm a baker. I love entertaining. And when I'm entertaining at home, there's that comfort. It's that smell of food and you just feel warmth. And I want buyers to have that when they walk through a home, because at the end of the day, it's a home that they're buying. So just that little small touch, it lets them see a bit of a personal side of me. And I get a lot of enjoyment when people really enjoy what they're eating as well. So it just puts a smile on my face and it makes them smile as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Is this part of your listing presentation? What do your vendors think of the baking of the cookies?
Believe it or not, I actually don't talk about it in my listing presentation. It's not till we actually, that I get the business, that I'll actually say, look, and for a little special touch, I will be baking cookies. So if you don't mind preheating the oven, they go, oh, really? I said, yeah, now if you're lucky enough, you might get one if there's any left, but I can't guarantee that side of it. And they're like, oh, that's really nice. So I don't actually use it as a sales pitch. It's more as that element of surprise at the end.
Yeah. And I guess that's a nice little add-on, a nice personal touch, and you going a bit above and beyond the regular call of duty.
Yes, I like to think so.
And has it helped you win any business though? I mean, I know that's not the aim, but.
No, it's not the aim, but it does actually help. So there was a property that I just sold recently at 125 Wilson Street in Newtown. And the owner of that came through. She had seen me do an open home with cookies. She's like, oh my God, do you always bake cookies? I said, yeah, all my open homes. And she's like, will you bake some for mine? And I went, sure. I said, when am I coming through? And it was part of the joke, but it was very friendly and it was a very warm presentation. So it does help, because I think buyers are always your future sellers. And if they have a great experience with you during the open home, well, in 3, 4, 5 years time, they're the ones that are going to come back. And on Saturday, and this is a beautiful story, there was one listing that I did get because their son was 4 at the time, his name's Theo. And Theo said he wanted to go and get a cookie at one of my open homes. So when we got the listing, the mum said to me, she said, well, I do hope you'll be baking cookies, because Theo wanted us to work with you so he could have cookies afterwards. And I went, absolutely, we'll be having cookies all the time. Well, she just came through an open home in her street where she's now bought. And she said, oh, you've got the cookies, Moira? I said, yeah. She goes, I'll have to bring Theo next time. I said, please do. And Theo's probably now 7.
You need to get Theo on the team. He sounds like a good salesman.
He's a great salesman.
And I mean, we're joking, but how lovely that you do actually, I guess, see a buyer at multiple open homes. And I guess when you ring them and say, like on a Monday, oh, hey, it's Moira, you came through 27 Smith Street, does it help you break the ice even further?
It sure does. A lot of buyers actually say, oh, we saw so many on the weekend. I actually don't remember which one that was. I go, oh, I was the one baking cookies. Oh, that one. I remember that one.
Yeah.
So it actually is a really good memory trigger for the buyers. I didn't realize at the time, and it was never a reason of why I started baking cookies, but it's really funny how it has actually helped for people to remember. Now, it's when those buyers come through 3 or 4 places with me in one Saturday that I'll actually go, it was one of the ones with the cookies. And they go, oh, which one? I go, remember this one, and they'll remember. And there are some people who actually go from one house to the next. They go, oh, we missed on one at the last one. Oh, great, you've got them now. I said, quick, grab it now before it goes. So it's great to break the ice and you're actually forming that relationship with buyers, because it can be very cold. And when you're working with an agent, I mean, look, at the end of the day, agents, we don't all have the best name out there. So it has a nice icebreaker with the buyers.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that actually, because, I mean, I chat to agents all the time. You guys are fantastic. Okay.
but there is sort of sometimes a bit of a negative connotation. So do you think doing things like this, as long as it is genuine, can, I guess, help change that perception and help make you guys seem a bit more human?
I think it does, very much so. For me personally, I definitely feel it. And I think the more personal we can be, the better it is for the perception that's out there for agents at the moment. It just definitely helps.
Yeah, fantastic. And what kind of cookies do you bake? Is it always the same ones? Do you change it up?
I change it up. So there's Anzac biscuits, especially around Anzac Day. I do love to make those. And the making of it is probably just as much fun as preparing them on a Saturday. And I wish I could make them in front of people, but at the end of the day, I'm not there for a cooking class. I'm there to sell a home. So I don't. But the other one's chocolate chip. And chocolate chip do seem to win over Anzac biscuits. And I think that's for big kids and little kids. Mostly in our area, we get a lot of big kids.
Yeah, fantastic. Oh, look, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a lovely story. There is one final question I've got for you. If someone is thinking, okay, what could my thing be? How do you recommend they choose their feature or their kind deed?
I think the important thing is choose something that's real for you, that isn't effort, it isn't work. It's just something that's really natural and something you love doing. And then that would be the right thing to do. And that's true for me. Baking is a love. Baking is something I thoroughly enjoy. It's not a chore. And just getting those cookies puts a smile on my face and it's out there. And for me, it's like 5 minutes, done. So that's what you want. You want something like that. You don't want it to be a big deal.
Fantastic. Moira, thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to everyone for listening in. But just before I go, I really hope you've enjoyed this special edition of Elevate. And if you know of a feel-good story about someone in the real estate industry doing something amazing in their community or for their clients, please let us know about it at newsroom@eliteagent.com.au, because a little good really can go a long way.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate podcast, with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.